For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, December the 31st, 1997. Final afternoon service of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Noel of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
This afternoon now, Dr. Noel is going to come and finish off our series of afternoon deliverance services and teach. And Dr. Noel has God's given him a wonderful ability to teach an understanding of different areas of deliverance over the years. And because of the places that he's been and things that he's come through, he's come by knowing and by being there. And he just doesn't teach out of something that he read in a book. And I don't either. When I talk, it's things that we have learned because the Lord has showed us to us, not something that we read in a book and then get up here and try to tell you about. It's from experiences. Dr. Noel, come, the blessing of the Lord, as you teach us this afternoon. May we learn for the kingdom.
Let's all stand up. Come, Lord Jesus. Just come, Lord. Come.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we praise you and we just bless you and we glorify you, Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord, for your great glory, for your great and marvelous and glorious God. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us, Lord. We ask you to pour out your spirit, Lord Jesus, this night. Just pour out your spirit and your anointing, Lord, and let the words go forth, Lord. Your words, your rhema words go forth, Lord, and touch your people, Lord God, and set your people free, Lord God. We ask in the name of Jesus, Lord. We praise you and bless you and thank you, Lord, and give you the glory. Amen.
Sort of struggled with what God wanted me to talk about. Up to about 20 minutes ago, I really wasn't sure what I was going to talk about. And then I got sort of a leading, better than for the men's group this afternoon. I walked in there and sat down, and I had no idea what he wanted me to do. Just absolutely none. But God is, you know, is marvelous. He's a wonderful God. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about the enemy, the power of the enemy, the power of the enemy to afflict your life, to deceive you, bring you into bondage, to steal from you. But the wonderful thing is that God has made you his child. And when he made you his child, he made a covenant with you. And he brought you in to his family. And he spread the corner of his garment over you and made you a child of God. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them to have companionship with. And he came in the cool of the evening and he walked and he talked to them. And he had a close personal relationship with these beings that he had formed in his image and his likeness. The Hebrew word translated image is the same word today that comes down into modern Hebrew to have your photograph taken. A likeness means like character. And he had them in the garden. But let's look at what happened in Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?"
The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, God never told her that. He told Adam that. He didn't tell Adam exactly that. He said you couldn't eat it. She added that you shall not touch it. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eye, and desirable to make one wise, she took the fruit and ate it, and she also gave it to her husband with her. And he ate. Now, when I was a little boy, I was told that Eve ate, and then she had to run and find Adam someplace and say, Adam, look at this apple. Mine is a good apple. He didn't take a bite. But, you know, Eve was standing right there beside her.
That's right.
And that Ahab rascal didn't say nothing. Huh? And so when the woman saw that, okay, let's see. And when the eyes of both of them were open, they knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They covered themselves. Now, okay. When they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And when the Lord God called to Adam, he said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat? He said, the woman who you gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what's this you've done? And she said, the serpent deceived me. And you all know the rest of it. I won't read the rest of it. But there are two or three points I wanted to make here. The woman knew that she wasn't supposed to eat. But the cunning serpent came to her and said, look at that. Look how good it is. It's pleasing to the eye. And it's good for food. That's the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh. And it'll make you wise and proud of life. And he said, you know what? God really doesn't love you. He has held his best away from you. He doesn't love you. He has cheated you. Well, if you take this, you'll be just like God. And so the woman rejected God. She was subject to rejection. Now, if you look up rejection in Webster's New International Dictionary, it will say the act of rejecting or being rejected. That's the definition. It goes both ways. The woman suffered rejection because she rejected the law of God. And she ate. And when she did, she was naked. She had no covering. God covering. It was no longer God's covering that she had. Now, history would say, and tradition has taught us, that they sewed fig leaves together and covered their sexual parts. But it doesn't say that in the scripture. It merely said they made coverings of fig leaves. Okay? They knew she knew she was naked suddenly. She had no covering. And so when God started walking, Adam heard God and they ran and hid because they were naked, because they were afraid. Not that they were ashamed of being naked. But they suddenly had no covering. They'd walked away from God. As long as they were under God's covering, there was no shame. There was no fear. Now, we will go from there to a verse in Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. Again, the word of the Lord came to me. Now, this is Old Testament prophecy. Now, you must understand that this was a prophecy given to the Hebrews at the time of the dispersion into Babylon. And it had a
fulfillment at that time. But like lots of Old Testament prophecy, it had a fulfillment into the future. Okay. Now, it says, Son of Man caused Jerusalem to know her abominations. Now, we know that this was spoken 500 B.C. to the natural Jerusalem, to the earthly Jerusalem. But Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4, there is a heavenly Jerusalem that is above. That is the mother of us all. And we are Jerusalem, the Israel of God. And that Jerusalem will come down from above. But we, it is the mother of us all. And so this is spoken to us. It is our history. Now let's read it. Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, your Lord says, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem. Your birth and your nativity was from the land of Cana. Your father was an Amorite and your mother was a Hittite. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor were you rubbed with salt, nor swathed in swaddling clothes. No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into the open field where you were loathed in the day you were born. Now, people, that is absolute rejection. Now, if you say, how did I know that applies to me? Well, you were a child of wrath by nature. Hold your finger there now, and let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Starting with chapter 2, verse 1. And you, he made alive. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You made alive. Now remember that word. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works among the sons of disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, that's birth, by birth, children of wrath, just as the others. Now, in case you have trouble with that, if you will go back to Galatians chapter 2 and look at verse 15. Here Paul's talking to Peter. And he says, verse 14, but when I saw that you were not straightforth about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as Jews? We, talking about Peter and Paul, who are Jews by nature. He said, not sinners of the Gentiles. He said, Peter, you and I have been born. We were Jews by birth. That's what the word means. We were Jews by birth. Here it says that by birth we were all children of wrath the day you were born. And he said, when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, and I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. Now, he said he gave you life. Remember the first verse? And I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew and matured and became very beautiful, and your breasts were formed, and your hair grew. But you were naked and bare. You were naked. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, and indeed it was a time of love, I spread my wing. Now that can also be translated corner of my garment. My wing over you and covered your nakedness. That's the same word back in Genesis. Covered her with the corner of his garment, with his wing. Now, under his, Psalm 91 says, under his feathers we shall take, he shall cover us with his feathers, and under his wing we shall take refuge. Under the covering. Okay. And I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you.
Jesus entered into a covenant for us. And you became mine, says the Lord God. Now, praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay. You heard a talk on the Hebrew, on the marriage of the Lamb. And they said, Joel said that there were three parts. I didn't hear him talk. I wasn't in here. But there are three parts to the marriage contract, to the marriage process in the Hebrew nation. First was the marriage contract made by the parents when the children were very small. This could be broken. There was some penalty involved with the breaking of it. There were some financial penalties and so forth that had to be that one. But these things were, they were small, minute things. They were details that could be taken care of. When the children became of age, they were betrothed. The betrothal ceremony was binding as marriage. As a matter of fact, they were called husband and wife. And you will find that Joseph referred to Mary as his wife before they were married. Went through the marriage contract. After the betrothal, they were considered husband and wife. And you will see in Scripture a widow who was a virgin. That is a woman who had been betrothed, but not yet married. Not yet the third portion of the Hebrew marriage. And they did not have the right to intercourse until after they were married. And the marriage took place about a year later. The marriage feast took place generally a year later. And the interesting thing is the family didn't know when the bridegroom was going to come get her. That sound familiar? Didn't know when the bridegroom was going to come get her. Well, now Jesus, when he picked up that cup, well, the bridegroom at the betrothal service will pick up the cup and he will turn to his wife-to-be, and he will say, this cup, it's full of wine, has wine in it, is the covenant, is the blood of the covenant, my blood of the covenant, which I make with thee, I've shed for you. And he drank it, and she drank it. It's a blood covenant. The Hebrews were not allowed to drink blood, so they used wine instead of blood. And so when Jesus picked up that cup, on the night of communion. And he said, this is the cup of my blood of the new covenant that I've shed for you. Every man in that room knew he was speaking the betrothal service. They didn't understand why, but they knew what he was saying. He was betrothing to himself his bride. And he's coming back to the marriage feast to get his bride, a chaste, pure virgin without spot or wrinkle. Now, you remember in Ruth, let's turn to Ruth. Let's look at it. Ruth is, praise you, Lord Jesus, is back before Samuel, Judges. Ruth, okay. Ruth chapter 3, verse 9. She went to the threshing floor. And after Boaz, verse 7, after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lay down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came and softly uncovered his feet and lay down. It happened at midnight that the man was startled, and he turned himself, and he saw the woman lying at his feet and said, who are you? And she said, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a redeemer, kinsman. And he said, blessed are you. And he spread his garment over her. Now that under his wing means spread your garment over me. Actually what it said was, marry me, Boaz. That's what she said, marry me. And he says, I know you're a virtuous woman, but there's a kinsman closer than I, and we'll settle it today. And he said, leave now before anybody sees you. Now. Because the threshing floor, according to the prophet, Hosea was a frequent site of prostitution during threshing season. And so she left while it was still dark. No one saw. But the point is that he covered her with his garment. He covered her with his wings, same words. And so, as children of God, having been made coveted children of God, and brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ, your elder brother who has redeemed you. You are covered by the garment, the corner of his garment. You're under his wing. He's covered you with his feathers, and under your wing, his wing, you've taken refuge. And that is your covering. And as long as you remain there, under the shadow of the Almighty, in the secret place, under the shadow of the Almighty, the enemy cannot touch you. You have a covering. It cannot be pierced. But let's look at Isaiah 30. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord. Rebellious. Okay? Who take counsel not of me, who cover themselves with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk down to Egypt and have not asked my advice, but have strengthened themselves in the shadow of Pharaoh, not the shadow of the Almighty, but the shadow of the world, and trust in the shadow of Egypt. They've gone to the world. Now that divide, that covering that's not of my spirit, that covering literally means they have spun a spider's web. It's got holes in it. Now people, when you walk out of God's covering, when you become rebellious, and you walk away from the covering of God, you have rejected him. And the first thing that happens to you when you reject him, just like Adam and Eve, fear comes in. You reject God. You get fear, and you get fear that you're going to be rejected, and you've got a covering that's a spider web that you can see through, and you run and you try to patch it up, and you take counsel from the world on the way to do it, and you become rebellious. Now let's look at 1 Samuel 15 and see what 1 Samuel says about rebellion. Now here we have King Saul. I'm in 2 Samuel. No wonder I can't find it. Get over to 1 Samuel. I don't see, man, it don't look right. We have King Saul. And God has told Saul to go and completely destroy the Amalekites. Leave, put the band on them. Nothing is to be left alive. To utterly destroy them. Well, Saul gets down there, and God gives him a victory, but he doesn't kill the king. He brings the king back. And the people fell upon, swooped down upon the spoil. And they all, man, they segregate all these good goats and calves, and they kill all the bad stuff. They got all this good stuff. And so he says, well, what we'll do is we'll take it back and we'll offer it as a sacrifice to God. Because he's afraid of the people. Hallelujah. And Samuel shows up, and he can't find him, and he tracks him over the country until he gets him up where they, the altar where they are offering his sacrifices. And Samuel says to him, what's going on? He said, well, I have fulfilled the commandment of God. Paul, let's see. Verse 20. And Saul said, Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission which the Lord sent me, and I have brought back Agag king, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, the sheep, and the best things which they utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord a greater delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of God? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Now that word rebellion is an interesting word. Its second choice of definitions is bitterness. And it comes from the same root as over here in Exodus 15:22, and if you read over in Exodus 15:22, they came to a spring in which the water was bitter. And it's the same word, same root, 15:22. Not 15, must be 16:22. 15. Oh, okay. Yep. And they came to Marah. And they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, they called the name Marah, which is bitter.
And rebellion, that word that's translated rebellion, comes from the same root. If you become rebellious, if you become rebellious and you persist in rebellion, you will become bitter. And if you're bitter, if you've been deeply hurt and become resentful and angry and mad about it, and let seed in you, you will become rebellious. And if you reject the Word of God and add sin to sin and walk in sin, then you will walk away from your covering and the enemy will pierce you. He'll hurt you. And he'll send some nice friend in to hurt you. Now, rebellion opens you to lust, because if you can't get your love, if you're afraid that you're not going to be loved, and you've turned away from God, and you've walked away from your covering in rebellion, then you turn to the world not only for advice to walk in the shadow of Pharaoh, in the strength of Pharaoh and the shadow of Egypt. You will turn to it for love and acceptance. What does the world offer you for love? Lust. Sexual lust, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Same three things that trapped Eve. Remember? Now, lust is a strong desire for something that is forbidden. And if you get unhappy with God's provision for your life, unhappy with God's call on your life, with your mate, with your circumstances, with your job, with your children, then you will move into deeper rebellion and witchcraft. Now, what is witchcraft? Witchcraft, according to Webster's dictionary, is to control people or supernatural events through contract with evil spirits. Now, witchcraft, there are two types. The weak will manipulate. They will use witchcraft spirits to manipulate you. The strong will intimidate you. And therefore, most men will rise up in anger and rage and hostility and threaten to intimidate you. And so witchcraft brings into men rage, anger, hostility, brings in stubbornness, which is idolatry, strong self-will and stubbornness. And smaller men who are not physically strong, either they will use a combination of witchcraft and manipulation. Women most of the time use manipulation. The Jezebel spirit comes in, and the Jezebel spirit is a manipulator. Men's witchcraft is generally rage, anger, and abuse. Either verbal abuse, physical abuse, just as intimidation. Women's generally is manipulation. That's not always true, but it does happen. I have seen Jezebel spirits in men. And if you get a Jezebel spirit really cornered, just start crying. Just try to do God's will. I just did the best I can. I don't see why you're picking on me. And if there's Ahab within 50 miles, they'll come running. Oh, you bully, it's going to be all right now. It's all right now. There's Ahab. You can't have a Jezebel without an Ahab. If you don't have an Ahab and you have someone, if you have a mate who will confront that Jezebel spirit, you'll have to come out. Oh, I remember so well. We had an older couple that were in the 70s, 75. And this man was complaining bitterly to Irma. And he said, Irma, I want you to cast that Jezebel spirit out of my wife. Said, oh, she's every time we pull into a service station, she's on me and she never lets me make any decisions and she just always rides me. So I want you to get rid of that Jezebel spirit. So I put up with it for 20 years and said, I just want you to get rid of it. And Irma looked at him and said, Ahab, why don't you cast it out of her? Said, you got authority over it. And so this lady came up and she had arthritis or something. I can't remember what it was in the prayer line, and she asked me to pray for.
I was praying for the arthritis, and he came up behind and grabbed me and said, "Shut up, Al, you let my wife go." And he started commanding that spirit, and she began to manifest, and that Jezebel spirit spoke out of it to him. He said, "In the name of Jesus, I have authority over you. You come out of my wife." And it came.
Well.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. He's a little mild, meek little old man, you know, but he rose to the occasion. So we cast Ahab out of him. I don't know. I've never seen them since, but I just always remember that. Well, praise the Lord. Now, bitterness. Bitterness comes in with rebellion. And bitterness will ruin you. And you usually, people who've been rejected, have been hurt. And and it doesn't matter whether or not you've really been rejected or you just perceive that you have been rejected. I had a lady once. I was at this church, and I was standing there, and I was on call, and this lady who was in my Bible study, I hadn't seen for quite a while, was coming in, and then my pager went off, and they said, "Would you please come to the nursery stand?" That means right now. And so I went by and I spoke to her. I said, "Susan, it is good to see you." So I want to introduce you to my fiancé. I said, "I'm certainly glad to meet you, sir, but I've got to go to the nursery. Goodbye." And I left. She took offense that I had rejected her and her fiancé. Well, the truth was that she wanted to marry a person who was, quote, saved, unquote, but not really. And she knew it, but she'd made up her mind she was going to marry him anyway, and she didn't want anybody saying no. And she came over to bring him all set that we talked about not being unequally yoked in the Bible study, and she knew I was going to say that I wasn't going to approve, which I would have never passed judgment on unless she'd asked me. And but she wrote this bitter epistle to the pastor about how unkindly I had treated her and how I had rejected her and how anti-Catholic I was and how, I read through it, you know, and I called on the telephone and said, "I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry. I never intended that. You're a nurse. You know what it is when you get a stat call. I had a stat call to the nursery. I had to go. I told you I had a stat call to the nursery and I had to go. You worked in the emergency room. You know what it's like. I couldn't stay." Well, I didn't understand that. "I'm terribly sorry. I would never wish to offend you. But when you come to the wedding, I'll send you a wedding invitation." Well, I was down here at the time of the wedding and I did not see her again. But she took offense. Later, after her husband had died of cancer, she came to talk to me and asked me for prayer and told me she told me most of what I'm relating to you now and said that, you know, that she knew that she just didn't want anybody to tell her that she couldn't do it. It was wrong. And so she'd made up her mind before she went over, she was going to be rejected. And she perceived she was rejected. And I've never gotten such a bitter epistle in all my life from a friend. I mean, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And she's still a very nice lady, and I still see her. She perceived that she was rejected. And she took that as a deep hurt. And that rebellious demon talked to her, and that bitter spirit talked to her. And the more she thought about it, the madder she got. And anger and rage just nailed that root of bitterness down into her. And her arthritis got so bad. And when we cast that bitter spirit, that rebellious spirit, that rejection spirit, and that bitter spirit out of her, the arthritis got well. Now, if you have bitterness in you, and anger and deep rage, then you have unforgiveness. You get some unforgiveness. And you got somebody that has hurt you. And you want to, and for some reason or other, if you hold on to that bitterness, then you're holding on to the unforgiveness. And that bitterness will defile you. Remember,
You remember that in Hebrews it says, see that there's no bitter root growing up to defile you. Now, Derek Prince says that is a person in the church that defiles the whole church. But I know it will defile people. It defiled me until I got it cast out of me. And before you can get it cast out, though, and the bitterness won't hurt anymore, you've got to say, well, Lord, what am I leaning on? What have I got to do to get back under your garment? Where am I leaning on the world and not under your wing? What is the idolatry in my life that I, the thing that I have decided that is going to elevate me so that people can't hurt me anymore? Is it chasing after money? My mind was chasing after money. Is it a good job? Is it prestigious position where you've got people under your authority so you can put your finger on them and they're not going to talk about you and reject you? They're scared of you because you can manipulate them. What are you holding on to rather than leaning on God? And God has to show you this. You have to get on your face and say, God, show me. I want to come back under your covering. I don't want that spider web covering anymore. I want the covering of the wing of the Almighty. I want to rest in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, not under the shadow of Egypt, and leaning on the strength of Pharaoh. Now, we can cast the demons out. Cast the hurt out. That deep hurt. But until you come out of that idolatry and get that covering back over you, the one that got to get rid of that spider web and get the feathers back over you. You know? Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you under my wings like a mother hen gathers her chicks. How many of y'all ever seen a mother hen put her wings down and had the chicks run up under them? That's what Jesus said. Off he wanted to do that. Put his wing over you. And so you need to ask God to show you by revelation. Because deception comes in. How many of y'all deceived? We've talked about this before, see? Nobody knows they're deceived. Got an air of deception in your life? Well, the reason you're deceived is you don't know it. If you know it, you're no longer deceived. The Holy Spirit will show you. Now, that is one of the values of having trusted friends that you're trusted Christian counselors that you're accountable to in your small groups, in your prayer group, people that you know and trust that love you and can say, I don't think that's right. I think you ought to pray about it. And you can get out on your knees and say, God, is that right? And you labor for Him and He sets you free. He'll break you free of deception. And then you can come under the wing. And then when the devil comes with that spear to try to stick you, that hole ain't there anymore. And he won't go through. Oh, oh, Lord. What happened to me? But you know, unfortunately, if we could all walk all of the time under the anointing, under the wing, in the secret place, we could walk in that. You know, we wouldn't have any problems. Enemy couldn't touch us. Unfortunately, sometimes we slip up. And I thank God for the red heifer. Y'all know what the red heifer is? It was a type. It was an offering. It was a sacrifice. And in Leviticus, described the red heifer offering. And it was a type of the stored up grace of God when you slip. Let me show it to you in Hebrews. Let's turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 12, 13, and 14. Talks about Jesus the high priest. Verse 11, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater, more perfect tabernacle not made with man, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal fruition. For if the blood of bulls and goats
and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The red heifer offering was a type of the stored up grace of God for the sins that you commit after you're saved. That blood will wash you clean when you can repent. Turn from your sins, repent. There's no faith until you get repentance. Faith comes after repentance. Repent, turn from your sins and confess them to God. He says he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you come back unto. Sanctifying. It means making holy. Sanctifying of the flesh. Making holy, set apart for God, the flesh. Praise you, Lord God. There is nothing in this book that is superfluous or unnecessary. Everything in it was written for purpose. For our edification and learning on whom the end of the ages have come. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so, hallelujah. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I say to you that we need to come to a time of prayer now. I think we all ought to stand up and praise God a little bit and get our blood circulating again. Praise you, Lord God, for as I said before, the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. Praise you, Lord. Everybody stand up, hold up your hands and praise him. Jump up and down a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise him, people. He inhabits the praises of his people. He's enthroned in your heart when you praise him. Praise him. Praise him. He's a king whether you praise him or not, but when you praise him, you give him a throne in your heart. Praise you, Lord Jesus. King forever. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let's sit down. I have to be faithful to a request. Someone asked me if I would speak briefly. They heard me say that you weren't supposed to eat with fornicators. And so I wanted to look at, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with fornicators or sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with fornicators of this world or with covetous, extortions, idolaters. Since then you'd have to go out of the world. But now I have written you that you should not keep company or associate with anyone named a brother who is a fornicator or covetous or idolater or reviler or drunkard or extortioner, not even eat with such a person. That sounds awfully hard, but in elsewhere he says that you should not count them an enemy, but that you should admonish them as a brother and encourage them to turn and love them and pray for them and not judge them. But love them and pray for them. But nevertheless, you shouldn't publicly associate with them. You shouldn't be out going to parties with them. What kind of witness does that give the world? Not very good one. If you're publicly associating. When I was young, anybody who was a dishonest crook, who was known to steal and cheat and lie, who was a known fornicator, sexually immoral, decent people wouldn't have anything to do with him. They wouldn't deal with him. They wouldn't have business dealings with him. Wouldn't do anything with him. Not if he claimed he was a... And if he said he was a Christian, then you just kept them at a distance. That's not true anymore. That's not true anymore. Matter of fact, you find pastors out sleeping around and the church won't do anything about it. Which is a sad commentary
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, we'll go back. And what I want to do today is I want to come against the spirit of bitterness, rebellion, rejection, and idolatry and deception. And ask God to show you if you are leaning on the strength of Pharaoh standing in the shadow of Egypt and covered with a spider web, instead of leaning on the power of the Almighty and covered with his wing. Because one place you get wounded, the other place you're secure. I don't want to put anybody under condemnation, because God has to show you this, and he will provide a way to bring you out. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that he is a rewarder of those who believe he is and diligently seek him. So when you diligently seek him, he is a rewarder, and he'll meet your needs. Praise the Lord. Say, dear Lord,
dear Lord,
I love you.
I believe
Jesus Christ of Nazareth,
is the Son of God,
was manifested in the flesh,
died on the cross for my sin,
was resurrected the third day,
and ascended into heaven,
and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, ever to intercede for me.
He is my big brother. God is my Father.
I have been redeemed
by the blood of Jesus Christ.
The forgiveness of sins
according to the riches of his glory.
I have been accepted
in the Beloved.
I am a child of God.
Lord Jesus,
I love you.
Father,
I stand before you now.
I ask for revelation.
Or any areas in my life
that are not of you.
In any way,
am I leaning
on the strength of Pharaoh
or standing in the shadow of Egypt?
Lord God, reveal this to me now.
We'll wait a minute or two.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I repent
of the sins of my ancestors
and for my sin.
At this point, I want you to name anything God's shown you very quietly, anything he's witnessed to you, any known sin that you have in your life.
Lord Jesus, I bring this sin to you. I ask forgiveness
on the blood of Jesus Christ.
I will repent and turn away with your strength
and your grace.
I accept cleansing under your blood
and righteousness
from you.
I stand in your righteousness.
I break all curses
on me and my lineal descendants forever.
I break all the curses that have come down through the family line.
Set me free, Lord,
of rejection, of rebellion, of bitterness, of hurt, of rage, of anger, of deception, of rebellion, of lust, of sexual sin, of accusation, accusing others,
accusing myself, feeling inferior, feeling unloved, feeling unwanted. Lord, set me free. In the name of Jesus. All fear, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. For God did not give me a spirit of fear, but He gave me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I forgive everyone who's ever hurt me, who's ever used me, abused me in any way. Anyone who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any way, contrary to the will of God. I break all ungodly soul ties. And I release this foreign soul from me. And I call back my soul in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For you said you would restore my soul. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, set me free. For you say in your word, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. In Jesus' name, I rebuke all these spirits. I bind them and I cast them out. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, all you spirits of bitterness and anger and rage, I bind you right now. All you spirits of bitterness and deep hurt and anger and rage, turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. All spirits of bitterness and anger and rage and rejection in the name of Jesus Christ, be gone. All spirits of idolatry, of leaning on the shatter of Pharaoh in the name of Jesus, leaning on the strength of Pharaoh and the shatter of Egypt, I bind you. All idolatry, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I command you to be gone. And I break the authority of these demons, of these demonic powers. I break witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I speak to Jezebel and Ahab, and I bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to anger and rage and intimidation, and I bind them and I command them to be gone. Be gone, all anger and rage and intimidation in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone, root of bitterness and deep hurt and self-pity. I bind you and I command you to go in the name of Jesus. You turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in Jesus' name and I curse you to your roots and I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all sexual lust in the name of Jesus Christ. All the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, the lust after power, the lust after money, the lust after position, the lust after possessions. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you, get out of here in Jesus' name. I bind every one of you. I bind you in the name of Jesus and command you to be gone. Go in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirits of infirmity in the name of Jesus that would come in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of intimidation now. I bind the spirits of rape and molestation in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the memory tapes of rape and molestation in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of incest in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of child molestation in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind the memory tapes of these events in the name of Jesus. I bind bitter memories. I bind the replay in the name of Jesus. And I command it to be gone in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I bind all spirits of murder in the name of Jesus Christ and death and abortion in the name of Jesus and command them to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all these spirits in the name of Jesus. Go! 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. Go! All of you! Get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Get out! Out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all spirits of inferiority in the name of Jesus. All spirits of phobia.
phobic fear in the name of Jesus, not being able to do it right, not being good enough. I bind all compulsion in the name of Jesus. I bind this compulsive, obsessive compulsive demons in the name of Jesus. I bind all the deaf and dumb demons in the name of Jesus. I bind all the spirits of the occult and command them to be gone in the name of Jesus. All Kundalini spirits, all Hindu spirits, all yoga spirits be gone in the name of Jesus. All martial arts spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All martial arts spirits, I bind you. I curse you to your roots and command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. All Buddha spirits, all Indian spirits, all spirits of Indian witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I bind the Paiute bird in the name of Jesus. I bind the war eagle in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of the clay in the name of Jesus. The spirit of the pot, the spirit of the tree, come out in the name of Jesus Christ and be gone. Go, go, go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go out, out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all lying spirits, all religious spirits, all Pharisee spirits. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go in the name of Jesus. All deception, all spirits of deception that would deceive God's people. I bind the spirits of deception now in the name of Jesus. Self-deception, self-strong will, self-will, unteachable. I bind the unteachable spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of ADD and dyslexia in the name of Jesus Christ. Learning disabilities, writing disabilities, I bind it. I command it to be gone out of God's people. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirits of double-minded, of schizophrenia, of paranoia, of depression, of heaviness in the name of Jesus. For God didn't give us a spirit of heaviness. He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. He gave us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I bind the spirit of heaviness in the name of Jesus. All depression be gone. All spirits of self-accusation be gone in the name of Jesus. Go! Go, self-accusation, in the name of Jesus. You got no right to these people. I bind you and I command you to be gone. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. Praise your name, Lord God. I bind all infirmity spirits. Spirits of headaches in the name of Jesus. Migraine headaches in the name of Jesus Christ. Tension headaches in the name of Jesus. I bind all headaches, all eye problems in the name of Jesus. All sinus problems, postnasal drip. I bind all pharyngitis in the name of Jesus. All bronchitis, all asthma, all pneumonia in the name of Jesus. All laryngitis, all laryngeal nodes. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All hoarseness, be gone. All cancer, cancer of the lung, cancer of the mouth, cancer of the brain, cancer of the stomach, cancer of the colon, all other cancer spirits, be gone. All lymphomas be gone and bone tumors be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave now. I bind all stomach ulcers, all duodenitis, all colitis in the name of Jesus, all Crohn's disease, all vaginitis, all cystitis, all proctitis. Go! Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go! Go! All arthritis, diabetes, go. Arteritis in the name of Jesus Christ. Neuritis in the name. I bind you. I bind all heart attacks, all strokes. I bind stroke in the name of Jesus. That's big healing. Healing, Lord. Surely, Lord, you've borne their infirmities and their sorrows and their sickness and their pain. And by your stripes they've been healed, Lord God. Lord, I speak healing now. Healing to the memories, Lord God. Healing, Lord God. Lord, let your healing balm come down. Is there no balm in Gilead? Yes, Lord, there's balm in Gilead. Praise you, Lord. Let the balm of Gilead cover them now, Lord God. Cover them, Lord, and heal them, Lord God. I ask you to heal all the hurt, Lord God. All the hurt, Lord. I pull out the knife of betrayal in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak healing, healing. I speak restoration to their memory, Lord God. Restoration, Lord, to their mind, Lord God, to their intellect and to their will and to their emotions, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I bind all dyslexia in the name of Jesus, all ADD. I bind all amnesia in the name of Jesus. And I speak restoration to their memory now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. To their memory, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I speak restoration to their faith. I bind the spirit of unbelief in the name of Jesus. Unbelief, I bind you and I break your authority in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no right apostle him. These children have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ as they are the temple of the Holy Ghost. They've been bought with a price, not corruptible gold or silver, but the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish. You've got no right to them in the name of Jesus. Unbelief, I bind you and command you to be gone. And I speak healing and restitution to these children. These are children of God. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. They are God's children in the name of Jesus. These are God's bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. These are God's spirits. They were bought and purchased with His blood. I speak healing to them from Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that healeth thee. Praise you, Lord God. By your word, Lord. You sent your word and you healed them, Lord God. You healed the rebellious ones, Lord God. You sent your word and you healed them in the name of Jesus Christ. Healing will come down, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, God. Healing, Lord. Fill them, Lord. Fill them. Fill them, Lord. Fill them. Let your healing come down, your word. Give them more Jesus, the word of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He rode a white horse that was, and he had a garment that had been dipped in blood. And on his crown said the word of God, and on his leg was written the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, and touch your people. Thank you, Lord. Fill them full, Lord God. Fill them, Lord, with your word. You said your word, the word of God, and heal them. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. More, Lord, more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Praise your name, Lord.
Lord Jesus. I speak the wisdom of God. I release the spirit of revelation. I release now, Lord. I stand here by the authority of the living God. I release the spirit of revelation, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Revelation, Lord, of your will. That they will increase, Lord God, in wisdom and understanding of your will for their lives, Lord God. That it shall be made plain to them, Lord God. And they can walk, Lord God, in your will, under your covering, Lord. And the enemy will touch them not. In the name of Jesus. Send it forth now. I send it forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord God. Let it come now, Lord. Come, Lord. Settle down. Hallelujah. Flow, River. Oh, just flow. Flow down into your vessel, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. All you people stand up and hold up your hands. The anointing will flow into you. Flow, river, flow. Oh, flow, river. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise him, people. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Great and mighty God and glorious God, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. For you are great and mighty God and a glorious God. There is no God like you. Hallelujah, Lord, for he sent his word and he healed his people. He sent his word and he healed him. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Let your anointing flow down now, Lord. Let it flow into him. Fill every spot, every crink, every cavity, Lord. Float out all these demons. Oh, God, send your angels with chains and bind these demons and haul them off to the pit never to come back, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, great and mighty God. Hallelujah. We have bound their nobles and their princes with fetters of iron. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, we stand with the high praises of God in our mouths and a two-edged sword in our hand to bind their kings and their princes with fetters of iron and... In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, we praise your holy name.
Praise your name. Haul off to the pit, Lord, and set your people free. Oh, heal your people, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise your name.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, just bless the food now, Lord God. Bless the food and those that prepared it, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.